Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Album number 14 is in iTunes right now. It's entitled Awake, my stand-up album. Looking at a review right now, if I may say, 5 stars I have received. Thank you. I saw this live and thought it was great. It's even better the second time around. Great job, Keith. Hashtag Keith and the Girl. Thank you very much. Yeah, if you heard the album, drop a review. It's always very fun. I appreciate it. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. It's every show we've ever done, including all our spin-off shows. And what never gets not fun for me is the weekly What's Up, A, where we talk to one Andrea Allen. We talk about her work performance.
Well, the last couple have been about guest performances and how Andrea feels about them.
This week, Andrea almost blows up the mics while screaming about a recent guest on the main show who behaved like a petulant child. Chemda Han and Keith join her in the chorus of hate as they go through the play-by-play of this person's rude-ass behavior. The show title is called Hate Wave. And with that said, let's introduce our new guest, shall we?
I'm so glad she's laughing. I just realized what we were doing as we were doing it. I'm just like, and fuck any guest who wants to give us attitude. Anyway, welcome to the show.
From Conan and Last Call with Carson Daly, Gotham Comedy Live, featured in the Huffington Post, Variety, Laughspin, New York Times, Maggie May.
Hey, everybody.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Maggie, I'm very excited. First of all, you being on Conan O'Brien, your late night debut is fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You should be very proud.
Thank you. I am.
Han met you, by the way, when you were in Austin. It was the very first open mic that Han ever did. Brought a date like an idiot. Gets off stage. The date was gone. But somehow they stuck with it.
And the thing is sometimes people's first open mic was good. Was yours good?
Oh, no.
No. Okay, great. So it's like you just did this thing that you're like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Other people do it. I'm going to do it. And you feel empowered and you get on stage and you've prepared, I assume. You're a very prepared person. And then not only do you fucking bomb like a dickhead, you get off and the person who was supposed to be supporting you, like, no big deal, let's go get pizza, was like, I'm going to go get pizza because I can't listen to this anymore.
It's a small theater on top of that. Coal Town Theater is an intimate space. So when you leave, you kind of let people know that you're leaving.
I see.
You know, like, you can't, like, really sneak out of that theater. So that's, like, extra dick move of...
Did you see him leaving from the stage?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the new version of the light. By the way, I want to apologize for Chemda when she said you bombed like a dickhead. We say they had. Yeah. And Chemda, please get woke. You're from the Rio Grande Valley. This is Texas?
Yes.
Is that right? Austin?
Or no, where Harlingen, Texas.
Okay.
Right on that little tip at the bottom.
And you didn't find growing up, it didn't seem like there was a big racial problem. Am I right? Like, I ask this of every black guest. but it seemed like you didn't feel it. Am I right or wrong?
No. I was, like, the Rio Grande Valley has, like, less than 0.5% of black people that live in the area. I was the only black kid in my grade at high school. I was the only black kid in my school for a lot of my school. Like, if there were other black kids, it was maybe one other black kid or my siblings.
And you joke that, with that said, there's no problems, meaning, you know, finally these students you go to school with have somebody that can play Scary Spice. So
no one excited. Ganged up to bully me because of my race. Nobody disliked. If anything, the fact that I was black helped because I was just, you know, weird kid. And they were like, well, she's black.
it's an excuse for anything. Yeah. Like, I don't know how black people do this, so maybe that's how.
Yeah, they're like, black people sure love Panic at the Disco and Sailor Moon a lot. What's wrong with them?
Maggie makes it clear black is not a racist word unless you're using it to be racist. For example, saying black pepper is fine unless you're using that phrase to describe half of the group that wrote Push It. It's a great point.
By the way, just a little side note, when I first heard Push It, it was like at 2 a.m. and I was around, I think, 12, I want to say. And, you know, I was up, but now I'm listening to the radio and I'm like, wait, at 2 a.m. they play things like Pussy Good? I'm just like, what? They keep saying pussy. put pussy real good. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm supposed to be sleeping, so adults should do whatever they're supposed to do.
At like, 2 a.m., they let you know what the real good body parts are. It's pussy real good.
Yeah, because you get that when you're an adult. When you're a kid, it's heads and shoulders, knees, toes. Then you get more mature, and it's the vagina.
But what's funny is I wasn't wrong. Like, they were talking about sex. Yeah. They were talking about pushing it, I think, in the vagina. Right. I mean, you know, they weren't being specific, so
talking about shopping carts.
That's true.
I see on your website, little bio, a 6-year-old once told you that you are the funniest person ever, and kids rarely lie.
Yeah.
So congrats.
Yeah. My friend Amber's daughter told me I was the funniest person ever. I held on to that.
That's on your business card.
Mm-hmm. Funniest person ever, just in quotes.
And then, you know what? What's her name? Amber?
Little girl's name is Elena.
Elena. So you could just write like Elena, her last name, and then everyone will think that they have it wrong. Like, oh, that's a famous person that I should know. You know, because at this point, fame, I think, is changing. Mm-hmm. Like, fame is like 40 to 100,000 followers on Twitter. You're famous to those people, and that's plenty to like make a living and everything. So that could be like some person who's influential in your field or whatever. And it's like, don't question that.
Elena loves me. Everyone else needs to get on her level.
Right. Yeah. We all want to go back to our childhood, right? So let's follow the advice of children.
You live in LA.
I do.
And you're coming to New York to do a tour of sorts, or is it more a friends and family thing? Is it for stand up?
I came here for the Del Close Marathon. I'm in Austin's first all black female improv troupe, Damn Gina.
Okay.
So, we had a show last night, and then I just booked a couple extra shows since I was going to be in town.
How'd the show go?
It was fun. Yeah. I was kind of late, so I ran on stage mid-show.
No, that's kind of late.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I was on the train, and I figured that it would be quicker if I got off the train and jumped into an Uber. Mm-hmm. And well,
I've had
it was
that
Lyft.
Thought before. Never works out. Never works out. But you feel like the train is not going to get me there. I'm going to do that because I'm going to throw money at it. It's going to happen like magic.
Exactly.
And that's the day that it rains.
Exactly.
And the cars are taking 20 minutes.
It was Lyft. And they said there was a car a minute away. I was where I was supposed to be, you know, and I couldn't see them. I was looking around. So I called and was like, hey, where are you? Like,
and they said, I'm waxing my mustache.
They said, he was like, I'm where you said you were. I was like, right. I'm standing in this, like, I haven't moved. I was like, what do you see around you? And he's like, well, it's on your phone. Look at your phone. And I was like, yeah, I'm looking at my phone, but like, what do you see around you that I can like come to you
for?
Yeah,
like, don't you understand that the next thing that you say has to be helpful?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, so, we can do this all day.
Yeah.
Or
you can just tell me, you know? And so he's like, well, look at your phone. And he hung up and I looked at my phone and he had canceled the ride.
Yeah. Take a look down.
I see. Yeah. What a puss.
Yeah.
Speaking of pussy real good.
Have you ever
that
been
pussy real bad.
Yes.
Have you ever been in one of these pools and you see them having trouble with another customer?
No.
It's like, I'm on your left. I don't see you. I'm on the left side of the street. I don't see you. And then they go, well, I don't know, click. And then they start driving. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, good. I have to get somewhere. But
yeah.
Wow, they get penalized for canceling it. So
no, I got penalized. They charged me $5 for a cancel. And so I went on the site to complain about it. And they were like, well, since you complained, we're going to give you a credit. Their little punk ass credit that they gave me was $10 if I referred my friends to Lyft.
You mean the same $10 I can get?
Yeah. I was like, everyone has that. Just because you put my name in the little little box of like, they have to now press Maggie 42 or whatever. I'm supposed to feel good about myself that y'all gave me a little punk ass credit.
You know what? You know what else you can have just personally from me? Vistaprint for only $9.99. Just put in my code KATG. That's the same thing. Like, oh, that's, I personally give you those cards.
I read in your bio, you're great at lip syncing and also regular singing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I blew my voice out at karaoke. Would you like to hear some System of a Down?
What's your karaoke go-to?
You can do System of a Down.
I did System of a Down last night.
Yeah.
I do System of a Down or Hall & Oates. Last night was Toxicity.
What do you mean System of a Down or Hall & Oates? Yeah. Well, that's not the same sentence.
Because I like screaming a lot. And I also like Hall & Oates.
Wait, so you did Toxicity?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's perfect. That is a good karaoke song because you can get into it and then be like,
it's fun to just scream.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah. Go! How do you own the world? How do you own disorder? Disorder. No! Somewhere between the sacred silence and sleep. Somewhere between the sacred silence and sleep, your neighbors are mad at me.
What's funny is now Maggie can find the microphone.
I think I'm going to consider that for my next karaoke song.
I save it all up.
Yeah.
I was reading this story today in South Carolina. A Confederate flag flies right next to a restaurant, and the restaurant owner can't take the flag down because he doesn't own that little corner of the property.
Yeah.
So it's an area of over 3/4 black people, and he's not getting business, and then at worst he's getting rocks thrown through his windows.
Fuck, because it just looks like it's his.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I would put a flag right next to it going not
right
and an arrow.
I mean, at night I'd burn it down, the flag.
Would you?
Yeah, I absolutely would.
But you know that they would come after you for that. Now you have legal issues.
I didn't do it.
You get someone to burn it down for you.
Yes, they've never caught that person.
You get teens to do
who's catching me?
I don't know. People always get caught. That's how we have that idea, right?
The flag needs to be moved, and if there's any possible way that I can do it, it's going to be done, says the owner. But right now, we're in gridlock. There was a guy, this guy is dead now, but he was a big supporter of the flag. He's also a big supporter of, segregation and everything evil, but he sold
this. What flag is it? The KKK flag?
The Confederate, the X.
Oh.
And he ended up selling this little piece of property for $5 to Sons of the Confederacy.
No, that is hate from the grave.
It sounds like a fable.
Wow, right. you left that in your will. You left your hate in your will.
Yeah.
Wow.
This person who put the flag, who sold that area of property, he has restaurants himself, and you walk in and you see all this Confederate memorabilia.
He owns a Cracker Barrel.
He's a fierce defender of states' rights and segregation. In his 2004 autobiography, he called the Civil Rights Act unconstitutional and the Supreme Court ruling that integrated public schools a, quote, really bad decision. I raised the flag out here on the flagpole to protest the taking down of our heritage flag. So at the state capitol, they take that down. He goes, well, I'm going to put one up. Of the flags outside his stores, those will all stay. I will fight on because that is what God wants me to do.
Where did it say that in the Bible? I don't believe the Bible came up with the Confederate flag or even knew about it. Why in the Bible does it say so much about this is your land and this is your land?
I think it's just in this guy's personal Bible. He wrote some stuff in back.
His diary.
Yeah.
Weeks after the nice guy who has the store, weeks after the grand opening, the group flew a larger flag in the aftermath of the 2015 church shooting in Charleston. So now it's a huge flag.
Which one? The Confederate one?
Yes. Dylan Roof killed 9 church members after calling for a race war.
I remember that.
So he's being clear that, hey, we're picking our side and we're on the side of the Confederate flag.
Oh my God.
So I guess there was a smaller flag. Then there's the Dylan Roof shooting. And to make a point that they're basically on Dylan's side, there's a huge flag and it's flying right across this guy's store. He said, from that day forward, all hell broke loose for me. My windows were broken out. My phone was ringing off the hook. My employees were harassed. I was fist fighting with people in the parking lot. Everyone in town assumed it was my property because it looks like it's attached to the building. This is what I'm saying. You rip that flag down. You find a way to rip it down every night. The town is on your side.
That's true. Yeah, but who knows if the police is on your side.
That's true.
You do it at night.
The police can find you when you do things at night. People are in jail for things they did at night. I'm just saying,
I give a shit.
I don't know how forensics works, but I know it plays a part.
Yeah, in this town, I'm sure they have great fingerprint detection.
You don't have to have great fingerprint detection. You just
I'm taking it down!
I feel like
everybody's making excuses over here, Maggie. You must be disgusted with my co-host.
You can make a thing like, wow, it would be great. I bet whoever took this flag down is going to get all sorts of pussy real good and then just mm-hmm. wait till someone does it or do it for yourself and just be like, oh, there were a lot of people that hated this.
Right.
No, I think you're right. I think burn it down and I would hope you don't go to jail for that. Because a lot of times a good guy goes to the fucked up place. It just sucks.
Well, you're not convincing me not to do it.
I'll go with you. I will help you. I would. I think
a bow and arrow with fire on it.
Yes.
Yes. What we should do is get a lot of people in to do it because then you get confused as to who did it. You know, it's like when you need 10 people to shoot someone because what, only one person has a real bullet. Mm-hmm. So everyone has an arrow and only one has magical fire that starts the flag going.
And the fire is like controlled by a push button at the top. Anyway.
We're very good at this. Mm-hmm. Keith,
I can get away with some stuff. Low key.
All these guys are MacGyvers. They couldn't get this flag down yet, though. There is political gridlock here in New York. The Verrazano Bridge. Where's this bridge connect?
Staten Island to Brooklyn.
Verrazano has been spelled wrong all these years.
Verrazano, that's because it takes you to Staten Island. Nobody notices. Come on. Verrazano.
The state senate has passed a bill that would change the spelling, which hasn't matched its namesake for more than 50 years. The bridge name is spelled with one Z, yet some say it should have two Z's because it's based on an Italian explorer whose name is Verrazano with two Z's.
Not for nothing, but how much is this costing?
Well, that's
because
the thing.
If you spelled, you know, Chemda wrong on a bridge and it's 50 years later and I'm not even alive and there are poor people in the world and you want to change it for $1 million, can I have a say in that?
This person discovered New York Harbor in 1524. The assembly version was stuck in committee when the legislative session ended. A Brooklyn College student started a petition drive to make things right in defense of Italian Americans.
Yes, because Brooklyn College has a lot of time to make things right about a second Z. I know I'm disrespecting this guy's name, but this, you know, the stuff that is a priority sometimes is just a little curious.
You know, there's a town in Nebraska called Norfolk, and they misspelled it. It was something with the mailing or whatever, so it's spelled Norfolk.
Oh,
and they just rolled with it. They're like, it's Norfolk. Just ignore the spelling.
It's a fucking name. It could also be no or fuck. Like, I just, how does that change it? Is it still in between Main Street and Union? Who gives a shit?
I think they weighed just the pros and cons of course, you know, the cost of everything. They're like, we really aren't going to pay for all of this.
Yeah.
Everyone just be cool.
Fire that person from 50 years ago. Let's move on.
State officials say that the bridge naming can cost millions.
There we go. Millions.
A statue of Verrazano in the lower Manhattan includes the two Z's, as does a bridge in Rhode Island's Narragansett Bay.
But that's not enough.
No, that's what it is.
He discovered something.
You look up Verrazano, you find out the guy has two Z's, and you go, that's a fun fact. And you go on about your day.
Yeah.
You know whose name we've been mispronouncing all these years?
Yours.
That's true. Very true. Carnegie. That apparently is how you say it.
Carnegie.
Carnegie. Yep.
Carnegie.
Instead of Carnegie.
Well, yeah, now I follow. No, thanks.
Also, Houston, that street, that's stupid. Why are we calling it Houston?
I don't know.
Okay.
Australian CEOs are under fire for using virtual reality headsets to experience homelessness. So you put on a VR helmet in your house after a nice meal.
Oh, my God.
And then you're going to look around and see Skid Row all around you.
What the? What
and be
the
like, oh, I can relate now.
What are they even talking about? How do you video homelessness?
Just go outside.
Yeah, there you are, not in your
just
home.
Just go outside without anything.
They had promised to sleep out on the tough streets of Sydney to raise money for the needs. For the needs? Instead, they strapped on the expensive technology and posted photos of themselves on social media.
Nobody thinks a little bit.
Right. I get it. So somebody went out there, took one of these 360 cameras, you know, stuck it in the middle of a couple homeless people, you know, warming their hands off of garbage
fire.
And then you can look around and be like, ooh, this would be creepy to be here. Then maybe you see someone get robbed and you're like, ooh, it is scary out here.
No, or you go like, oh, a fire. I don't know what they're complaining about. Oh, other friends. Well, they have a community. What's the problem? Because you're not actually freezing and worried about where you're going to get your next meal and how you're going to be robbed and raped from underneath some bridge that you found, because you have to trust a community, because where else are you going to fucking go?
Yeah.
But yeah, put on the VR camera. You get it. Watch a documentary. Why even bother?
They took the helmet off.
Oh, that was tough.
You know what? Fuck it, Bob. I'm going back under. You're just making a point now.
You know, my college would do that. Or I think a bunch of colleges will do like a homeless weekend where they let kids go out and just like, they just drop them off somewhere at like the Third Ward in Houston or wherever. And they're just like, you're homeless for this weekend, so you can see how it's like.
That's very dumb.
And those kids will be like, oh, I saw what it was like. And it was like, no, you didn't see what it was like. Because you can just end up outside for 2 days and it not be a thing.
You didn't see what it was like to be homeless. You saw what it was like to camp in your city. That's fun. I don't care. Like, what? I don't even care if you are in that, quote, dangerous spot that the other homeless people are for that weekend. That's fun, because you know, like, you can just walk away.
Exactly.
You don't have to rely on these people.
Exactly.
You don't have to negotiate with them. You just have to kind of like, quote, survive. That's like the people who go on the show Survivor and really think they survived something.
Yeah.
But to not know if you're in Houston or Houston, like, can you imagine your head's swiveling?
That's great. Your college would do that? What college did you go to?
I went to Houston Baptist University.
Is there a reason you went to a Baptist one?
I thought it was going to be a good idea.
Nah. It was that, but you still graduated?
I did.
And
early.
Was it a bad idea after a while?
Yeah. What kind? It was not the school for me. I'm not a Baptist. I was raised Christian, but not Baptist. And,
you know, it's similar because there was a school by me called St. John's University. And St. John's is obviously some sort of Christian sector of something.
Yeah.
But I always just thought it was just a private university that I could attend, but not have anything to do with religion. Was it like that?
Not particularly. We would have meetings and stuff. We would have, you had to go to a certain amount of like the school sanctioned church meetings in order to graduate.
What happened in those meetings?
They'd have a sermon, or they would have a student, you know, present a sermon. Mm-hmm. And,
you don't seem into those
sermons.
We're
not always good.
No. What was like one of the worst ones where you're like, oh my God, I have to sit through this and not say anything?
The God ones. They were kind of preachy.
Well, this one kid got up and he was talking about the sins of the school. All the sins that were ruining the school. And he was like, lying is ruining the school. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm on board. Bunch of liars.
Right.
Yeah. And then he was
You told me there weren't hidden fees. There's hidden fees.
None of this was in the brochure. And he was like, gossip, that's ruining the school. And I was like, okay, yeah. Some of y'all talk too much. Cool. And then he was like, depression. I was like, like, what are you, like, no. And, he was like, also homosexuality. And there's not a damn thing wrong with homosexuality. And so he had us go up to the front and get a partner and pray. If any of those sins applied to you, go get a partner.
Who jumped up first to grab a partner? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well,
okay.
I saw my friend, like a bunch of people went forward. And then saw my friend Jeremy. And I was like, ooh, Jeremy's gay. Like, he is very gay, and I know this. So I ran over to be his partner, and I was like, okay, what are your sins, Jeremy? And he's like, well, I lie.
Oh my goodness.
And I gossip. And I was like,
is that all, Jeremy?
And I said, Jeremy, sometimes I think girls are pretty. And he said, oh my God, I'm gay. And I was like, that's fine. Like, that's, don't worry about that. Like, that's not like, that's like the least thing you need to worry about in your life is like,
but did he
your
move?
Sexuality.
Was he able to move on from that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We hung out later and like he went to a bunch of gay, like I went gay clubbing with him and like, you know.
Right.
He was fine with himself after that.
Do you bring that up when you talk to him still? Like you saved his
life. Oh, I don't talk to him anymore.
Because he's gay.
No, because he's a bitch. Oh,
you can be gay, but calm down.
Yeah.
That was.
We kind of had a falling out, I think.
That sucks. Yeah. that was similar to what my husband went through. He was in Nyack Christian College in ex-gay therapy. He was assigned female at birth, so at this point he didn't even know what the word trans was. Mm-hmm. And so he's in ex-gay therapy trying to like undo his want for females, you know, because that's like the start of it. And he put himself in there in ex-gay therapy because he just wanted to try to get out of hell before he dies. It was like so crazy. Had never told anyone he was attracted to women. And he was in the church because you just go to the church to get solace, and was crying because it wasn't working, or, you know, it's just like, how do I get out of this? And somebody sat next to him and was like, are those happy tears or sad tears? And he was like, they're happy. No, they're sad. And for the first time he said, I like women. And he was afraid that like this woman would just get up and go, or like be, you know, afraid that he's attracted to her or something, or do a move or whatever. And she put her arm around him and said, that's okay. You know, I still love you the same. And he was like, oh my God, normal mm-hmm. things could happen. But then this actually, he wasn't in ex-gay therapy. This is how he got into it, I think. She said, do you know that there's other people like you in this school? And he was like, great. And she's like, I have a good group for you to go to. So she helped him put, it was like this beautiful, loving moment of, okay, someone's not taking their hand away. Yeah. Someone's not calling me gross, and they're going to help me get out of this and not be like this. And it's like this love hate thing.
Yeah.
Gross, right?
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, that is all that some people just concentrate on. Like, years after I left, I like bumped into a friend of mine online and was like, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? You know, let's, you know, be friends. I friended her and she was like, well, you might not want to be friends with me because I got something to tell you. And I was like, ooh, you murder someone?
Right,
she's like,
killed someone.
I'm a lesbian. I was like, yeah, you kind of always been a lesbian. Like, big deal. And she's like,
is it hard for you to hold back? Like, oh, what?
Well, I knew she was engaged to someone at the school or when we were going to school together. And it was this big burly dude. And I was like, that's who you're engaged? Okay, right. Cool. And I was like, yeah, honey, I kind of had a feeling when we were in school that you were gay. And she's like, why didn't you tell me?
I think that maybe that's what was going on. Like, I was a kid in school, and these bullies would walk around, just point to people, fag, queer, and maybe they're trying to help. It's like, oh, nobody saw me for me, you know? I'm reading a story about Ryan Seacrest. He's being offered $15 million.
For anything, why not? He's that talented.
And also,
he could use it.
American Idol, $15 million, but he's not ready to sign yet. He says he wants to be called a producer on the show.
Yeah, because he's going to get it. Hey, women, are you hearing this? Lean in.
Seacrest reported salary is... So anyway, yeah, but don't you have to do something to be a producer? Like, I want you to say I'm a producer, too.
I think that a producer can kind of be a credit that you can get without really having to...
If you're Ryan Seacrest, because what it does is you do produce it sort of backhandedly because your name will help the production, so you are helping. Or congrats, like, Ryan, you're amazing.
Or sometimes in like lower budget productions, they will do that in lieu of... I've heard that, oh, we can't pay you all of this, but we'll also give you a producer credit. So maybe that'll be worth your while a little bit more.
Sure, and maybe in the future it'll be worth it as it gains any kind of financial momentum,
right,
if possible.
Well, this, he's got to look in the mirror and go, look, I'm a lucky, lucky vanilla ice cream cone. and I'm going to take $15 million because I'll tell you what, I looked it up online. That's a lot of money. And when these producers wake up and go, wait a minute, he'll do it for 10. I'm going to kick myself in the pants. Yeah. When they when during negotiations and I push these producers, real producers, one step too far, they're going to go, wait a minute, aren't you the guy that tried to high five a blind person?
But that'll never happen. In fact, I think what will happen is he'll be like, 20 million? And they'll be like, 30. Can you just sign this? Come on, you're melting. Let's go.
I mean, I was telling you the story about a Giants football player who was offered at least $10 million. And he just got lazy and didn't get around to signing his contract. July 4th comes around. He's playing with fireworks. He blows his finger off. He goes, I'm ready to sign now.
With the bloody finger.
Right. Can you sign it for me?
But I could totally catch a football if need be.
Former Patriots Ryan O'Callaghan, this is a different gentleman, came out as gay. He played for New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs. He was an offensive lineman.
Good for him. That's rough.
He got confused. They would go, offensive lineman. He's like, it's not offensive to be gay.
That's rough to do in that line of work with how everyone feels. And you still have to get physical with other guys who a lot of times just get so weirded out.
Okay. Yeah. Also, nobody's done it yet.
No. Didn't one person do it? Oh, he didn't end up getting in. He was being drafted, right?
O'Callaghan said he grew up in a conservative neighborhood and determined, quote, a football team is such a good place to hide. He's 6'7", 330 pounds. He explained his biggest fear was the reaction of his family and close friends if he told them the truth, which is why he planned suicide after his NFL days ended. He said, quote, it takes a lot more strength to be honest with yourself than it does to lie. His outlook began to change after a series of conversations with Susan Wilson, a consultant with the Chiefs and NFL that focused on drug abuse. So he was having troubles with painkillers, and then he ended up coming out.
It's funny what you're allowed to say first. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You're allowed to say, I have an addiction, but that used to be the biggest taboo. Remember, people used to get like fired if they were in AA. Like, there was a reason why it was anonymous, and there's a reason why we're more openly talking about anonymous meetings, because there's not as much of a taboo. There still is. But it's funny that now it's like you can see the degree. And it's also like coming out of the closet can take two times. Like, I'm a lesbian. No, I'm trans. And people have to go, no, we were already okay with you being a lesbian. Right. You're asking for a lot more. And it's like, I'm still putting my pee-pee in the same places. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
As long as there are people killing themselves because they're gay, he says, there's a reason for people like me to share my story and try to help.
Yeah, so love him.
So obviously.
Rape everyone like the rest of the football players.
In the NFL now, there's gay people. Be the one that comes out first. They'll make movies about you. They'll be, especially if you're a bad performer, they'll have to keep you on at least another year or two. But you're the biggest asshole team in town. There's other gay people. How mad would you be if you're the second gay person to come out in football? So what? You know, you get batteries thrown at you for nothing. Be the first. I'm telling you. You'll see.
Oh, it sucks so bad. It sucks so bad to be the pioneer of those things, because you really are getting things thrown at you and people like deciding that you're a certain way. It so sucks. Yeah. Until you're the, and they always ask you gay questions and you're the one representing and you have to know about everything gay in the world. How do you have sex? And every time you say how you have sex, every other gay person has to have sex that way. It's bananas. And by the way, gay is not new.
Yeah.
Where are we? It's 2017. And whenever you're hearing this, it's later than that, than now. Jesus Christ, the first gay guy to anything.
I think that anytime anyone comes out as gay or queer, they immediately sexualize that person. You know, one of my friends that's gay was talking about how if he had to describe himself, gay would have to be the first thing that he said. But then at the same time, that's just a really private, you know, mention about what you do sex-wise, or, you know, or what you don't do sex-wise, you know, then you have to like open that part of your life to people, which, you know, maybe you just wanted people to know that you're into dudes and not chicks and nothing else. And, you know,
also maybe you didn't even want to talk about it at all.
Exactly.
If you as a straight person, if you can be, as a straight person, needed to tell people that you're straight all the time and needed to go to special bars in order for you to not worry about who you're going to talk to and how you're going to talk to them, just think of your life where you have to say straight before you say anything. I'm going to a straight wedding. I'm going to my straight date. I'm going to introduce my parents to a straight couple, I hope they don't beat me up. Do you know what I mean? Like, just put straight in front of it. That is the experience. And it'll be like you're homeless. You'll totally get it.
I put straight in front of everything, just to be very, very clear. People think I'm ironically progressive. I just want to be clear. Google is going to stop reading your Gmail in search of opportunities to sell ads. They would like you to know.
Bullshit.
They are reading my Gmail?
I honestly didn't know that. The change announced Friday will end the practice that Google has embraced since the company introduced Gmail in 2004.
Now they're just going to read your Google searches still. I mean, what's the difference? You're logged in every time.
The practice has raised concerns among privacy watchdogs and creeped out some users. To help finance the free service, Google has been scanning through what Gmail users were discussing and then showing ads connecting to some of the topics. So you're rating a friend about shoes. All of a sudden, it's not a coincidence when you see an ad for Nike or Asics.
But what's annoying is they don't understand. I hit the buy button already. Stop it.
Yeah.
I already bought those sandals.
They come
enough.
So much afterwards. It's like, you missed it.
Yeah.
You blew it.
On those ads, it should be like, did you buy this already? And you hit yes, and then it disappears.
Exactly.
You know? Do you still need this?
No.
Google still plans to show ads within Gmail, but instead of scanning through email content, that's so weird. Was that an announcement? We are going to stop the practice of reading your emails. I think so. I think that's great news. Yeah, imagine like you come out to a friend in a private email. Next thing you know, you got ads for dildos and poppers. Mm-hmm. And the people are like, Johnny, what are you working on? I'm like, I don't know. My private email is with my work email.
Want to go to Fire Island this weekend? Right. I was just.
That's true. That could out a lot of things about you.
Yeah.
It could out, also, you know, we talked about like, it could out surprises. Like when he was going to ask his wife to marry him, he was looking at engagement rings online. And then she's like maybe at his computer and on his Facebook feed, there's engagement rings. Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
You don't think something like an engagement ring might have to be a little bit private?
Right.
And who would ever go to the side and be like, ooh, engagement rings from XO654.com.
I'm in.
Ooh.
You know what? I did wait last minute for knowing my plan for quite some time. I'm in. And you know what? It makes me think of I'll see a spam here and again on our own forums. And every other word spelled wrong by these robots, and then a link. And it's like, how does this ever work? How aren't you offended? It's obviously spam. B, you tried to trick me into being that you were human, and you did a terrible job. And then here's a shady link that doesn't end in .com or org or net, and I'm clicking on it, and I'm going, yeah, here's my money. Like, what the fuck?
There's so many steps, right? But and what's funny is that you can tell that it's picking up the dialogue that's happening on our forum. So for this episode, it'll be like, push it real good on this button right here to get the sandals of your dream. Like, what?
What is? It's like if you broke into my house, I came in, I went, what the fuck? And they go, I got shoes for sale. I'm like, okay, let's talk. I do need shoes.
Those things just want money from the dumbest ones.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't want smart money. We want to part fools with their money.
The University of Missouri has stripped Bill Cosby of his honorary degree. I'll tell you what I like about this, because it's 6 days after the mistrial. And so I picture them going, we want to strip Cosby. It seems all the cool colleges are doing it. We want to strip him of his stupid degree. And they're like, okay, well, the trial's coming up. Let's wait until he's found guilty. Then we strip the title. And then he's not found guilty. Mm-hmm. And they're like, never mind, fuck him anyway. And I like that because it means we didn't just go, hey, he's innocent. That's or at least not guilty. That's fine. No, we know what happened. Take away his degree.
And don't let
people forget.
Who cares about this? The degree that you gave him because he's Bill Cosby and now you're taking it away because he's Bill Cosby, having nothing to do with what a degree has. How dare they give these degrees out like this? As a person who graduated college, aren't you offended by this?
No, because I kind of want one day. I want someone to give me an honorary degree in some bullshit and I can run around and tell my dad I'm a doctor.
Okay, fair enough.
My parents wanted me to be a doctor. I want to be a fake doctor.
So you like it because you're planning for your future better than I am.
Oh, yeah.
Fair.
Columbia University, if you're listening, I like y'all.
I can give a great speech in the summer.
I'll have all kinds of jokes.
You know what? I won't even ask for a doctor degree, you guys. So if you're a university, I'll take an RN. I love registered nurses. They're my fave.
They go, is there a nurse or doctor on this plane? I'm just like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, so you can help? No, I just want everybody to hear me say yeah. I definitely can help.
Right here, baby. Staying right here.
6 days after mistrial was declared in Cosby's sex assault trial, the school's board of curators voted unanimously to revoke the comic's doctorate in human letters that it received in 1999.
The hell are letters?
They said, we don't even know what humane letters are. Humane letters. Okay, what's the difference?
He lettered in football on top of being a doctor.
Yeah, I would like to be called the greatest quarterback of Harvard.
Oh, yeah. What do I want to be? Oh, a dancer in Juilliard with a second degree. No. They're listening right now. Keith, this is very
Debbie
important.
Allen.
Don, see what you did there,
Dr. Debbie Allen.
See it? Now you can speak, Keith. You're allowed.
Johnny Depp has apologized for telling his controversial joke about when will an actor kill a president again.
Johnny Depp is just speaking to see. I think I write about me again on the news in the newspaper. Let's see. I'll respond to myself, and I bet I could still get in the paper.
I apologize for the bad joke I attempted last night in poor taste about President Trump. I was only trying to amuse. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just trying a little joke about, hey, what if we killed the president, guys? Oh, did that go off wrong? I was just trying to make a little joke. Okay.
I think his apology would be better. It's like, hey, guys, I was drunk again. You know how I get. All right.
I was just being Johnny Depp.
Hey, guys, I'm Johnny Depp. Do you care about anything else I do? No? Right? You're still going to see my movie? Okay, thanks.
Look at how many scarves I'm wearing now. Yeah. Like, you listen to me? Look at my glasses.
Here's a nice story. We're telling sad stories. Here's a nice one. A customer's act of kindness at a Southern Indiana McDonald's sparked a chain reaction of niceness in its drive-thru line. Allow me to explain. Hunter Hostetler is a cashier at a McDonald's in Scottsburg, about 50 miles north of Louisville, Kentucky, if you want to visit her. He says an older woman waiting in the restaurant's drive-thru Sunday decided to pay for the larger order of a man with four children in a van behind her.
That's nice.
Yeah, except the guy was kidnapping children in there. Right? Hostetler says she asked him to tell the man Happy Father's Day, then drove away.
That's nice.
The kind gesture prompted the man to pay for two cars behind him, and that eventually kept spreading to 167 cars by closing time.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I hate it. I hate it, and I knew that where that was going, and I absolutely hate this practice. It started happening at Starbucks a while ago where we were ready. Hate. Just let me pay for my shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to decide how much money I can spend, and I don't need this. Like, they paid for you, and you can't break the chain because it's already been 125 people. So do you want to be kind or no?
Right. And you got to But you got to be like, no, that's why I eat at McDonald's.
That's another thing.
You're bragging. Your shit's a dollar. But now you have it. But please, we're at 123 people.
Right. Who broke that? 106. I love the 168th person.
Right.
That's who I love.
No.
What if they're just someone who's there that dug through their coin thing and they just want a crispy chicken sandwich that's it for a dollar. And then they're like, well, we're doing some sweet shit right now.
Yeah.
Do you want to pay for like two extra value meals and whatever, whatnot?
No.
Guys, what's taking my food so long? Oh, we have to wait until a car comes behind you. we're working on something. We'll fill you in a second.
That's another thing. 167 consecutive orders like that.
Yeah.
America, stop. Yeah. Please, somehow. I know it's hard, but ugh.
Just how about give to a charity?
Right. Do you want to?
For people who don't have McDonald's.
No,
money.
I don't want that either. Now at the supermarket, at the end of your fucking thing, do you want to give a dollar to this? No. I just spent $167 on groceries, but it's just about me and my family. No, I don't want to add a dollar, but I do.
Do you? I don't.
I don't always do it, but I usually do it because I do the math. Like, the groceries are this amount of money, a dollar or more.
I don't even round up. I don't even round up, and I don't care. I go, no thanks. Do you want to? No thanks. I don't feel bad.
I wouldn't do it as often if I had, like, a regular charity. I was giving to a couple charities for a while or a couple like fundraisers like on a monthly level, and then my card expired and I never re-upped it. So now I'm like, this is the other way of doing it, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I go to the movies a lot, and they ask for the dollar in the front when you buy the ticket, and then they ask if you want to give your excess change if you buy anything at the concession stand. And then this one woman kept pushing it. She's like, do you want to round that? No, thank you. So it's just a change. Yeah, the leftover change. I'll take it. Thank you. It's only 55 cents.
That's not cool.
No, thank you.
That's give me back all my 55 cents.
Right. You don't know what that 55 cents is about to go to.
I get the 55 cents back. I hold it up to the light, make sure it's real. I chomp on it, like, see if it's a real coin.
Do you think we're monsters? Is that a monster thing?
No.
Don't tell me what to do.
Because people do need things, and charities do have to be in your face, or you won't do it.
We give to things. Me and my wife give to things just fine. Don't tell me what to give to things.
Well, they're not. Yeah. They're asking, but it's such an awkward place to ask.
Yeah, they're asking. No, they're telling because that's why you feel uncomfortable. They're telling because they're doing it in front of everybody. You're in a line, most likely. No, thanks. I'm paying $20 to see a movie I don't even care about, but no thanks. No, you're not embarrassing me. No, thank you. I have to pay for the guy behind me. What'd he get?
Right. I want to ask that.
Oh, you got the new guac and pico burger for $8. Okay. There's a dollar menu, asshole.
Yeah. It's plus, he came expecting to pay for that $8 meal. Like, at like a McDonald's or a movie or a thing like that. It's like, yeah, that's a nice thing, but that's not like a, not a life-changing. Like, nobody goes to McDonald's and is like, I really hope someone behind me can just chip in a buck for this.
I'll get his shake. How about that? How much is the shake? No, without tax. Okay. All right. There, he got his shake. Tell him. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Can I pay for half of his meal? Because that's how much my meal costs. Yeah. I really can't stand this.
I'll tell you what. Cancel my order. I'll buy his.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
It's so much pressure. Also, I don't want to buy someone else McDonald's. I'm having my own shame circle right here.
Right.
I don't want to feed anyone McDonald's. Yeah. I want to hide. Yeah. There's a reason why I'm on this line, and it's not self-love.
I not only... do I not want you to tell him I paid for his meal? Don't tell him I was even here. Don't tell anybody I was here. Is that a camera outside? Oh, Lord.
That would be so good at like at late at night when it's just a bunch of stoners and they're like, someone's already paid for your meal.
It's like, oh, I'll pay for theirs if I remember. Bye.
Yeah, you could just
I tried to make
extra cash.
I grab the food. I start driving away. And I go, I assume somebody's got this. And if I get caught, I get caught. And I go, oh, today wasn't the day. You know, then I go burn down a Confederate flag.
Y'all never heard of paying it forward?
Right. Oh, you guys aren't nice. Get your shit together. Some community this town is. I'm out of here.
You write a think piece about how everyone's too greedy these days.
Right.
Went to McDonald's, had to pay for all my own stuff because none of you guys know how to pay it forward.
It's like the lottery now where you're like, I wonder if that guy... ahead of me got this. All right, I'll take everything.
Yeah, I wonder if there was some asshole that goes, throw in an extra thing of fries.
Yeah. Oh, I saw this place on the news. I will take an extra apple pie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even like apple pie.
Somebody's making calls like, dude, the guy in front of me paid for it. I'm just saying I was number 143. They might still be going.
Who goes back in line? Takes advantage. Like, all right, you sucked me into this.
I'll just be whispering at the person in front of me like, man, you know what would be real cool right now? Is if someone just started a thing where they paid for the person behind them. We keep that going for a good 2 hours.
Well, I guess, it'd be nice, like, if you paid for me, wouldn't that be nice? And they say, and then you pay for the guy behind?
Yeah.
What?
So when they leave and I get my food and I count my money at the counter, put it back in my pocket and then leave.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
What's your Facebook? I'll call you later.
Yeah, all right, so you'll pay for the person behind you? You can't think that way. You just have to do what's right to you, and then, I do me.
They'd be like, do you want to pay for the person behind you? Like, you know what? They can have my salad.
Right. Yeah, I go cancel their order, but what I'm ordering for them is the salad, no dressing, and throw in one of those toys.
Sorry.
What did I get today? Sir, would you like to take the challenge where the guy pays for you, you don't know what you get, or would you like to pay for your own meal? What? This is a weird town. All right, Maggie May. The website is Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, May, M-A-Y-E, haha, I'm not joking, maggiemayhaha.wordpress.com. All right?
Real professional.
I think this is the website I buy things from China from.
I read your emails and see what you're trying to do.
The Twitter account is at Maggie May. Ha ha.
Branded.
That's right. And you, by the way, featured on season 2 of CISO's Take My Wife, one of the headliners for Portland Queer Comedy Festival. What is this about?
It's the first, my friend Belinda Carroll is putting it on. It's the first queer comedy festival in the country.
All right.
In the country?
I think so.
Look at this.
Who else?
When I heard about it.
Who else just wants to throw up in their mouth?
that it's finally the first one?
Just the first anything. The first anything. The first woman president. Want to look at your watch. The first.
When I heard it was the first, I was like, there's no way. There's no way this is the first. But like most festivals will have like, oh, here's the queer show. Everybody gay in this festival is on the queer show. But this is like, they're all over the spectrum. They have gay people, queer people, lesbians, boy gay people.
Are you queer? Are you allowed to be part of this?
Well, everyone gets, well, not everyone. Like they allow like allies to be in it. I'm not like really a sexual person, but I get to be in it because I'm, you know.
Wow. Are you asexual? I'm A plus sexual. That's why I ask.
Kind of.
Because who has the time, right?
Doesn't
get you going. There's other stuff we can be doing.
I'm not a...
The shit I can get done.
Yeah.
If I didn't care too much.
I'm not a... Sexuality is just not important,
right?
You know, for me. You know, it's just a thing of like... Sure, if you know, if I find someone I like, that's cool. I'm that sexual. I'm that person sexual.
But there, I see. Are you trying to avoid being put in a box about it? Like you don't want to call yourself asexual. Like,
you're not into a box either.
And I don't like when people sexualize me or like what's going on in your sex. None of it. Don't worry about it. Right. You know, like. Just don't worry about it.
So you want to I'll let you know when I'm doing something that is on the spectrum of you needing to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. There you have it. I'm going to have sex tonight, by the way. guys, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. KeithandTheGirl.com.